We have a good number here this morning, and we're thankful for your presence. We know this is a weekend that kind of traditionally closes out the summer season with Labor Day this weekend, tomorrow. So we have a lot of folks gone, a lot of folks traveling, but we're delighted to have you here. And we know we have some guests with us, and we're certainly pleased that you're among our number. And for whatever reason has brought you here, if you're here with family or friends or just felt the need to come and worship God on a day like this, on the Lord's Day, and for whatever might be the spiritual need in your life, we're thankful that we believe the Lord has brought you here to us. We just a personal note, we're going to have this afternoon from 2 to 5 at our house. Maggie and I are inviting you to come to an open house celebration at our new home. The address is in the bulletin there that you have in the bulletin. There is also a map on the back table there in the foyer. I had some more specific directions, turn right here, turn left there, but I don't have that with me here this morning, so you're just going to have to go with the map. If you have any more specific questions, just let me know. It's not too hard to find. I've made the map from MapQuest, from Crosstown's building all the way to our house. Skip jumping on 75 going south, get on I-44, and then it'll take you on over off 41st Street. And we live in a housing addition, Rolling Oaks. And so I hope that you can find it. If you have any questions, give us a call, text us, and let us know. And we'll, if you end up in Podunk, Oklahoma, I guess, we'll call and get you back on the right track. Not too hard to find. People have asked, where do you live at, preacher? Well, it's a little community called Berry Hill in West Tulsa. And if you're not familiar with it, you need to get familiar with it this morning, today. So it's a great, great community. I went to high school there, in West Tulsa, off 41st Street there. And in the Rolling Oaks addition, you turn in there and our street is the first left on 40th Street. And then you'll look for 39th Street, where our neighborhood is. So hope that you'll join us for that, a little celebration, come and go. Not come and stay all day. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. 5 o'clock now, 5:01, the door will be closed, and no dinner will be served, I promise. All right. You have your Bibles, church. We're going to study God's Word this morning. Let me see those Bibles now. All righty. Good, good. Ephesians chapter 6. You may say, wait a minute, Robert. Didn't you preach your last sermon in this series? Well, technically, yes. But we're going to come back to something here this morning. We're going to come back to this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. We have been looking for a number of weeks. We looked at the six pieces of the spiritual armor, the armor of God, that the Apostle Paul tells us that if we have any chance, if we have any hope to be victorious in our spiritual battle with Satan, we have to take advantage of all the resources God has made available. And so we talked about those six pieces of armor, the belt of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the boots of the soldier. The Christian is with the peace that God is with me. God is for me. I'm not fighting alone. We talked about the shield of faith as we submit to God and His way is right, and it is always tested and right. We've talked about the helmet of salvation, the hope of the helmet of salvation, the confidence, expectation we have for a better tomorrow. And then we looked at last week as we finished off the pieces of the armor, as Paul has in his mind, the legionnaire Roman soldier, as he's under house arrest. We talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we talked about using the sword of the Spirit both defensively as Satan comes at us, and the Word of God is an incredible has an incredible stopping power in fighting Satan and temptation. And then we talked about using the Word of God allowing God's word rather to be used on us offensively, for God to operate on us, for God to slice, for God to penetrate, for God to open us up so that we can see ourselves as we really are and can begin to have that healing and renewal and strength. Well, I want to... Paul here mentions prayer in verse 18. So I had debated about, well, you know, I've seen prayer preached as a part of the Christian armor. The only problem is Paul doesn't give us a specific piece of armor that he equates prayer with. So technically, the six pieces of armor we've looked at, but I just thought, the more I thought about it, we need to come back to this and think about what he says in verse 18 as he concludes this section. And he says in verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." I like how the English Standard Version, the NIV that I have, at the end of verse 17 has a period. Now, those were not in the original manuscripts. Those were not in the original text. Verses and chapter headings were added later. But I like how the English Standard Version just puts a comma after verse 17 and it just continues into verse 18. Paul has the same thought in mind, the Christian battle that we're engaged in. And so he's not beginning another topic, he's continuing the thought. As he says, the last piece, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit, praying always in the Spirit. You know, we have a song in our hymn book that stand up for Jesus. And it's in this section in our hymn book that kind of has the soldiers of Christ arise, these call to battle, call to arm ourselves for the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. This is one of those songs. And it says in verse 3 of this song, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust your own. And then he says this, put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, or each piece put on with prayer. And I think what Paul is reminding us here is as we put on the armor of God, the six pieces of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our shoes with the gospel of peace, the helmet of the shield of faith, the helmet of the hope of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. He wants us to understand something, that it's not going to be our own strength, our own might that we're going to overcome Satan, that we're going to win this battle. He wants us, he's pointing us to the reality that this is God's strength ultimately. This is God's power. This is God's might. It's not going to be because of our own heroic deeds that we can somehow pat ourselves on the back when we stand before the Lord victorious on the day of judgment. No, we need to be reminded, even as we put on these pieces of the armor, this is the strength, this is the might, this is the help of God. And he concludes that here in verse 18 by, I think, pointing to that reality, by reminding us here of the need for prayer. Put on each piece of the armor with prayer. Prayer causes us, it brings us to our knees, it humbles ourselves before the Lord, where we're saying, Lord, we need you. We can't do this by ourselves. All of these pieces of the armor are essential, but it may be in this sense that we understand prayer and the importance that it plays in this regard here. And so I want us to look at this morning as we think about kind of the secret weapon of prayer, maybe kind of this hidden instrument, this hidden weapon that, again, Paul doesn't give an analogy comparing it to a specific piece of the Roman soldier, but it is one that is very powerful, and it is very important that we remember what this prayer is all about, this trust and the help of the Lord. Now, let me break this down in three ways as we look at these verses. Let's first think about what he says in verse 18. And I'm going to call this petitionary prayer. The petitionary prayer here. Notice what he says here. He gives some words here. He says that we are to pray in the Spirit. We'll come back to that. On all occasions, we'll come back to that. And with all kinds of prayers and requests. He uses two words here. He says, with all kinds of prayers. That's the first word. That's the generic, general term for praying and for prayer. Prayer is, we think about it encompasses, there's a lot of things about prayer that it involves adoration, thanksgiving, confession, asking God for our needs. This is just kind of the general word for prayer. But then he says, with all kinds of prayers, and the NIV says, request. Some translations say, with petitions, with supplications. And here, this word means to ask a special favor, to ask a special request. And that's why the NIV translates it, a request. Now, Paul doesn't give us the specific request that we're to be asking of God, but the context is clear, church. The context that we've been studying is spiritual warfare. Now, it is true that as we think about this, as we think about asking God, prayer reminds us of the need to ask God for help. We think about asking God for things, and we think about so often physical things, physical needs. And there's nothing wrong with asking God for physical our physical needs. Matter of fact, go to the model prayer. We're going to turn to there anyway. So put your finger here in Ephesians 6. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gives us the model prayer. As we're thinking about prayer being a means to ask God for help, Jesus, remember, as he teaches the model prayer here, his disciples how to pray, he says there in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. That's a physical need that we need, that they needed. And so the Bible isn't against physical concern. We might have physical needs when it comes to physical, maybe health. It might be for physical strength or healing in our body. There's nothing wrong with asking God of those things. Jesus here again makes that request that we learn to request God of things that are physical in nature. But when Paul speaks of here in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, he's not talking about those physical things. He's talking about a spiritual context. He's talking about asking God for spiritual aid, asking God for spiritual assistance as we live our Christian lives, as we face Satan. Now let's go look at this model prayer again. Three-fourths of this prayer is spiritual. That's the emphasis of the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see there, Jesus here, three-fourths of this prayer is in regard to spiritual assistance, spiritual help. Now, Paul here, look at the context further after verse 18. Look what he's going to pray for in verse 19 and 20. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Don't miss this now. Paul is in prison, right? He says he's in chains. Paul doesn't know if he's going to get out or not. It's very likely that Paul would stay arrested and in prison the rest of his life and die. Now, we know he doesn't. Paul gets out. He's released for a little while. And a few years will pass. Paul will get rearrested, and then he will die. He will be executed, we know, at the end of his life in Rome. But Paul at this time, and he's asking for help, he's not, you know, you would think, if I was in prison, I would be focusing my prayers, a lot of it probably, on getting released. Lord, get me out of here, right? That's not what Paul prays. Paul prays the spiritual focus. Help me, Lord, that I can speak boldly. Paul doesn't want to wilt under the pressure to deny, to compromise the message of the truth of the gospel. Paul says, pray for me. My spiritual need is for boldness in preaching the gospel. And so we find this petition here, this prayer for spiritual need. You see, Satan was at work in Paul's life. This implies Satan was at work in Paul's life. And Paul here, as he thinks about praying, he's not just concerned for physical, but a spiritual defense. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand, again, if we're going to get through this battle, if we're going to be victorious, it's going to be the help and the strength and the might of God. And that's what Paul is praying on, is praying for. I don't know what you do in terms of spiritual assistance. But I hope this morning, and I hope in our study, we have raised it to another level. We have realized that we need a renewed appreciation for the power and might and help of God. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here. He's requesting, he's begging God spiritually for help. And that needs to be the dominant theme, at least, of our request to God. And yet so many times, instead of the model prayer, which is three-fourths focused on the spiritual need and request, we spend three-fourths or majority of our prayers asking God for the physical. We need to think about the spiritual battle that we're in. This is that we're involved here. And again, it's not to minimize the physical needs. Asking God, requesting God. There'd been nothing wrong with Paul praying to be released. But we need to realize also the great concern here, asking God for help spiritually in our lives. Now, secondly, notice the perpetual prayer here. Let's come back to this business of at all times, on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and request. Well, let's think about this for a moment. Paul here is not saying that every waking hour we need to be walking around, we need to be in this moment of prayer 24/7. Jesus didn't do that. The apostles didn't do that in their ministry. But I think what he is emphasizing here is the need, we might say, of regular, habitual prayer. It's what Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. He's not saying be in prayer 24/7 every waking moment. He is saying there's never a moment, there's never a time, there's never an occasion, there's never a season in our life when we stop praying. We're constantly to be relying on God in prayer. And here it says we need to have this as a regular part of our prayer life as we face Satan, as we battle Satan. Now let's go back to the Gospels here. Let's think about something. Look at Mark chapter 14. As we think about prayer in regard to spiritual battle, being on alert, it causes us to be on alert. Look at this passage from Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Because look, as you turn over to Mark chapter 14, let me remind you again what Ephesians 6 says. That we're to be making a prayer and request with this in mind, be alert. Always keep praying for all the Lord's people. So keep that in mind. Be on alert. Now, Mark chapter 14. Remember, this is the occasion here in verse 31 where Peter insists the night before Jesus is crucified, he makes the bold, audacious statement that I will never forsake you. Though everyone else, and kind of pointing across the room to the other apostles, even if they forsake you, I'm not going to. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 32 of Mark 14. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Just like Paul saying, be alert in our help for spiritual battle. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then look at verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon. Now stop right there. There were three of them, right? Peter, James, and John. I find it interesting that he calls out Simon. What did he just tell them to do? To pray, to watch, to keep on alert. And doesn't Jesus probably have in mind what Peter just boasted about earlier? I'm never going to forsake you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I'm strong spiritually. I'm going to be with you to the end. And Jesus is saying, you need to be praying. You need to be on alert. And Simon, he calls out Simon by name. Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter, you're going to face one of your greatest challenges of your life. You need to be praying. You need to be asking for God's help. And Peter's going to fail. He's going to fail miserably. And all of the apostles are going to fail and deny and forsake Jesus. Now, Jesus knew something about Satan. He knew something about the nature of Satan. Let's look at another passage out of the Gospels, Luke chapter 4, and why we need to be on alert and why we need to be praying continually, habitually for God's help as we fight this spiritual battle. Look at the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. And this is, only Luke tells us this statement. The other Gospel writers, Matthew, he doesn't include it. So we might be tempted to overlook it here. Here's when Jesus has been tempted by Satan. We talked about that last week. He used the Word of God defensively to block. It says here in verse 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, here's what Luke tells us. He left him until an opportune time. That's chilling. He wasn't through with Jesus. Jesus, you won this round. I couldn't get you to veer off the course, the hard road of the cross, but I'll be back. He was going to come back. He was going to look for another opportune time. And Jesus knows that. And we have to know that. We have to understand that about Satan. He will not let up. He will not resist. He will not stop coming after us until an opportune time. Satan is persistent in this fight and coming after us. And we have to be continually asking God for His help spiritually. And we have to be on alert. We have to be aware spiritually of the challenges then and that constant need that I need God's help. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to a man who had been a drug user. He had used drugs for a number of years, and it had been about 7-8 years, if I recall, he had been off of drugs. He hadn't used it in 7+ years. And I remember we were talking, and he referred to himself still as an addict. And I was kind of saying, well, don't you mean a former addict? He said, no. He knew that is always a struggle, that is always a battle, that every day, every hour, there's that temptation, there's that opportunity if he's not careful, if he doesn't see himself as in that need of having to be alert and having to watch out for that influences. And that's something we see with folks who've had to struggle with substance issues. That constant awareness that the testing, the tempting is just right there. It's not going to go away. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on alert. That's the nature of Satan. And Peter, when he says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, remember what he says there? He says, to be alert, to be sober, before your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Peter was speaking about firsthand experience. He says, be on alert. Be constantly on alert. The devil is constantly out there trying to destroy you and I was led astray. He devoured me that time. And Peter reminds us the constant need here, the perpetual battle that we're in for perpetual prayer. And then lastly here, notice what makes all this powerful. Powerful prayer here. Back in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. A lot of ideas about what this means. I'll just cut to the chase and I'll tell you what I think it means here. I think I can support it. Paul is saying here, and I think we look at the previous context of verse 17. He's praying, he's telling us to pray in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the influence, under the direction, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now remember what he just said in verse 17 of Ephesians 6? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's talked about the shield of faith, that we surrender our, submit ourselves to the will of God and His Word. We are to be a people who are under the control, under the influence, under the guidance of the Spirit. The will of God expressed in the Word of God. Be under that influence and His guidance. And remember some things that He's told us. Have confidence in some things that He's told us. Now, there's one thing that God has told us. The Spirit has revealed to us in His Word that's relevant here. And it's the fact that you and I are God's children. You and I are God's children. And what that means is that God cares for us. You know, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 and following says, "You're all led by the Spirit of God and you're sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." God, we are children of God. What that means is like with us, with our children. What it means is that we are for our children. We love our children. We want the best for our children. We will stand by our children when everyone else forsakes, when everyone else isn't concerned about them. We will be there with them and for them. We will be encouraging them to reach their spiritual potential, to do their very best. We have their best intention in mind. We have the best concern for them. And that's the idea here. We are children of God. And so as a result, God has our best in mind. He wants what's best for us as we live our lives. And we can expect that God will do and act for us in prayer. Spiritually here, I'm thinking about the context of spiritual battle. I'm not saying that if we pray and ask God anything, physically, health, job, whatever, that God is going to grant that request. Prayer is not some magical we get anything we ask if we just ask our Father. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually. And I'm talking about having that confidence that when we ask God for spiritual assistance, when we plead with God to help us in the fight for our souls, for the battle against Satan, God will hear and God will grant what we need. God will not leave that prayer unanswered. He may not, in His will and His knowledge and His providential will, He may not grant that healing. He may not grant that that job. He may not grant this physical need. But when we petition in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, when we come before the throne of God and we plead and we beg and we ask of God to help us spiritually, He's going to grant that request. And He's given us the resources to remind us, to point us in that direction. I don't know if you've ever heard of a just-in-case prayer. Just-in-case prayers. Several years ago, the BBC actually did some research and polling, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and they surveyed atheists. What was interesting here when they did this, and 30% of atheists said they pray at some point in their life, at some times.
Think about that. They deny the existence of God, and yet 3 out of 10 will pray. Why do they do that? Just in case He's there. Just in case there is a God. And I don't think that's limited to atheists. I think there's some Christians. I think there may be folks who attend worship. Maybe even some that come here to this location. It's not that we don't believe God. It's not that we don't believe in His Word. It's not that, but when we pray, we're just dogged by doubt and uncertainty. When we ask God for help spiritually, we sometimes think, well, is this going to help? Is this really going to do any good? And so we don't end up praying. We don't end up reading our Bibles. I mentioned to you last week, the two first things I usually ask folks when they come, when I talk to them, and they spiritually, they're struggling, they're weak. Are you reading God's Word? Are you praying? Well, no. What else? No. We believe. We have confidence. It's not just in case. We know God will respond. We know God, we can have absolute confidence as we're praying, as we're petitioning in the Spirit, that it's guaranteed, church. It's going to be guaranteed by our God that when we beg and plead and we are perpetual, not one time, we're like the persistent widow. Remember Jesus told that parable, I mentioned it? She just kept begging and kept begging and kept insisting and kept pleading with that unjust king, the unjust judge. And remember Jesus' point is, if this unjust judge, ruler, did this for this woman, how much more will God do for you who He loves? We have to be constant in prayer, continually. And remember the power of prayer as we pray in the Spirit that God wants us to live victorious in Jesus. We have our minds full of this reminder, I think, in verse 18 and following, that it's God's strength. We sing that song, Soldiers of Christ Arise, Put on Your Armor. And it says to remember that we are strong in the strength which God supplies. You cannot be victorious. You cannot make it to heaven. You cannot stand before the Lord saved on the day of judgment unless you have relied on the strength and the might of God. And prayer is that secret weapon, if you will, that brings us to our knees, that brings us before the throne of God, petitioning, asking God for His help and for His strength. Let's pray as we close this morning the lesson. Father, we come before You this morning as a congregation, and we have grateful hearts. We come to You, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we know that You are among us. We know that You care for us. Father, we can't even imagine. We don't even understand fully just how much You love us and care for us. And Father, we want to, at this very moment, we want to do, we want to fulfill exactly what the Apostle Paul told us to do in Ephesians 6:18. We want to ask of You, we want to petition You, Father, for spiritual help, for strength as we face the battle, Father, as we live our lives, as we serve You, Father. Yes, we're concerned at times about physical needs, Father. So many here at Crosstown have physical concerns and physical needs, Father. And we pray that You would grant, according to Your will, in Your time, Father, if at all possible, those things, Father. But most of all, Father, especially, we need help spiritually. And Father, we have confidence. We have the expectation. We have the assurance that, Father, You will grant our request. You will help us spiritually. You will not leave us alone on the battlefield, Father. Wounded, alone, isolated. You've given us so many resources, Father, to help us. Your presence, Your Word, the opportunity to come to You in prayer at any moment, any time. The community of believers in the Church of Jesus Christ, Father, that we are a family for each other. So many resources, Father, You've given us. We want to embrace every one of them. Father, as we've been studying about this spiritual war, we pray that we will realize we're in this battle.
whether we even realize it or not at times, Father. Satan is constantly out there. Father, we have to be on alert. Help us to be on guard. Help us, Father, to be always watchful and vigilant and sober-minded and realize that Satan wants to destroy our life, our faith, and our family and those we love and know, our world. Father, we pray for our world even this very day. Our heart is heavy for our country, for peace in the Middle East. Father, we pray that hearts could be changed. We pray that you would intervene in our world, that you would defeat Satan in all of his ugliness and evil. And that, Father, we pray for peace. We pray for the gospel to be able to go forth in those parts of the world so that the work of spreading the good news of your salvation can come to the hearts and minds of people and bring about that peace. Father, we're thankful for everything this morning, and especially for Jesus, our Savior. It's His name we pray. Amen. We always close with the invitation. And friend, we don't want to close this morning. We hope that you realize you're in this spiritual battle. We hope that you'll, if you're subject to the invitation, you'll take the necessary steps this morning to maybe get back on the road spiritually. Maybe that involves a public confession as a Christian. Maybe you've been in rebellion, you're involved in sin, and it's been destroying you, and you need to ask for forgiveness, you need to ask for the prayers of this church body. We would do that. Maybe if you're here this morning and you're not in the spiritual battle, you've not put Christ on in baptism, you don't have the hope of salvation, if we can encourage you to do that, we want to as we stand and sing now.